You know, in a 2019 survey, the big car dealer CarMax found that over 60% of adults have put a bumper sticker on the back of their car. You know, the number one reason they say people put bumper stickers on the back of their car is to make a statement about themselves, or make a statement about their values, or what they're truly interested in. You know, so these people, when they put a bumper sticker on the back of their car and they drive all around with it, they're making a public statement of what they are truly passionate about. You know, people often commit to defending the things that they are most passionate about. And usually people are defined by their passions by the passion they have for that cause. You know, usually when we think of people, that's one of the first things that pop out of mind is things that they have stood for, things that they have advocated for, things that they have publicly done that we have seen them do. So if you think about it this morning, what is your cause? What is the one thing that you commit yourself to? You know, if your name was mentioned in a conversation among other people, among friends, you know, what words would they truly use to describe you? Would it be you're compassionate, you're forgiving, you're loving? Maybe other words that we don't want to say are used. But what words are used to describe you by other people? You know, as a believer, as a Christian, we hope that you are passionate about sharing Christ with others. You know, if you've spent any time reading through the New Testament, you will see that Paul was passionate about sharing Christ. However, you know, that's not what he was always known for. You know, we read in Galatians 1, verses 13 and 14, we know that Paul says that churches knew him for persecuting. It reads, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father." We also read in 1 Timothy 1, chapter 13, Paul says, "I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent." You know, but if we take a look at the rest of that verse that we read in Timothy, let me pick up at the beginning of verse 12. So Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithfully, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy, because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." You know, as we see, Paul had a passion. His passion was way off. It was to persecute Christians. But as we see him, as Paul recorded in 1 Timothy, in his letter to Timothy, Paul's passion changed. God got a hold of his life, and we know there on that road to Damascus, his life completely changed. But even though Paul had a new passion, and he was appointed by Christ for service, and he had great success at preaching the gospel, and he was truly a faithful servant of Christ, but we know that things were not always easy for Paul, as we read there in the New Testament, the book of Acts. You know, it's easy to be strong. You think about it, it's really easy to be strong and upbeat when things are going well. But what about when things are not going so well? You know, hard times truly reveal a person's character and what a person is truly, really made out of. That's usually when somebody's true character comes out, is when they're pushed hard, when they're tested. You know, when things out of the ordinary pop up in their life. But one of the things that we can learn from Paul in his life was Paul paid the ultimate price for his faith. We read in the end of the book of Acts, in chapter 28, verse 16, it says, "And when we came to Rome, Paul was about to stay by himself with the soldiers who guarded him." Then I'm going to skip on down to Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, and it says, "He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You know, at this point of the book of Acts, Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem and had been imprisoned for over 2 years at Caesarea. He had appealed his case to Caesar, and upon his appeal to Caesar, Paul had been sent to Rome. If you read through the end of the book of Acts, you'll see where he had been shipwrecked and different things had happened to him, but he was now sailing and ending up in Rome. So Paul spent 2 years there in Rome waiting for his accusers to bring his case before Caesar, the charges that they had. And during this time, he was allowed to be under house arrest. So Paul did have some freedom, not freedom to leave, but he apparently lived in a house that he rented. So toward the end of his life, Paul found himself in prison. But he didn't find himself in prison because he was a murderer or a thief. He found himself in prison because he preached the gospel. You know, facing the threat of death, Paul continued to preach and teach about Jesus. He did not waver in his commitment to the Lord. You know, being a believer in some parts of the world today may mean that you may have to pay the price for your faith. Luckily, we live in an area that we don't have to worry about that. One of the statistics by Open Door USA says Christians are the most persecuted religious group worldwide. An average of at least 180 Christians around the world are killed each month for their faith. Christians in more than 60 countries face persecution from the governments or surrounding neighbors simply because of their belief in Jesus Christ. You know, but you think of it, despite the persecution, God's word and his people have still prospered over many years, and people have continued to try to spread the gospel. No matter what rulers and emperors have done over the many, many years, God's word has always persevered. There was an operation called Operation Aku or Kak. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Pronunciation is not my strong suit. But Operation Kak was an attempt by five evangelical Christian missionaries from the United States to bring Christianity to the Waikani people of the rainforest of Bethlehem. And they were intended to be the first Christians to ever evangelize this previously uncontacted tribe. The missionaries began making regular flights over this settlement around September 1955, and they were dropping gifts. And after several months of them dropping gifts, the tribe gave some back, so they decided they would create a camp near this tribe. And they created this camp on this sandbar close to where the tribe main group was settled. But unfortunately, their efforts came to a drastic end on January 8th, 1956, when they were attacked by the group and were all seared to death and killed for trying to share their faith. You know, the Waikani warriors, took it in their own hands because of misunderstanding to do away with these five missionaries. You know, as we think about this, we know Paul will soon suffer the same fate that these five missionaries did. He will be put to death for trying to share the gospel. So if we choose to be sold out for Christ, then at some point we will face some type of prejudice or trial. Hopefully not to the extent that these missionaries did or that Paul has gone through or other martyrs that have come before us have done. Hopefully not to that extent. But our faith and desire to serve Christ should be so great that we are willing to. Now, hopefully it never results in our death, but hopefully our faith is truly that strong and our belief in Christ is truly that strong that if it took us to death, that it would. You know, chapter 15, verses 18 to 19 says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know, the key is to look at trials as opportunities to show people how Christ ministers to those in need. Because if we take those trials as opportunities to show people how Christ ministers in our life, we can show them how God is faithful to his children in every situation and in every time. Now, we know this goes against our human nature, but if we show how Christ has worked good in our life, and if we have faith in him, we are that living reflection, that living example of those people around us. You know, we see at the end of Acts, while Paul wasn't free to come and go as he pleased, he was allowed to have gifts. So he continued to preach the gospel to those guests, but even though his situation was bad enough that others, including the church at Philippi, was concerned for him. And so the rest of the morning, I want to spend in the book of Philippi, chapter 1, verses 12, book of Philippians, in chapter 1, verses 12, is where I'll pick up. We first saw in the book of Acts there towards the end that Paul paid the ultimate price for his faith. But secondly, I want to look at, in the book of Philippians, that Paul valued Christ over his own interests. You know, Paul had a close bond with his Christians in the Philippian church. In Philippians 1:7, we're going to read about that he had affection for them in his heart. And I'm going to pick up verse 12. It says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. But it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here in defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of a selfish ambition, not sincerely but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in the pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." So in verse 12, Paul offered comfort and assurance to his friends. He urged them to look at his imprisonment as just another evangelic opportunity. The gospel was flourishing even in the midst of Paul's hardship. In verse 13, we also see that Paul stated it had become clear to the palace guards and others that Paul had been in prison simply because he preached the name of Christ. For no other reason. You know, the group of soldiers that guarded him was a hand group of soldiers who reported directly to the emperor. And they served as his captors while he awaited trial there in Rome. But you know, even these professional soldiers, they realized that Paul was a unique prisoner. He was not a murderer or a thief. He was a man who openly and honestly proclaimed the name of Christ. He preached it. This apparently got the attention of all the guards who came in contact with Paul. But you know, as you think about it, can you imagine as a soldier being attached to Paul? You think about it. We know through Scripture how openly Paul preached the message. But could you imagine being that guard that was attached right to Paul? You know he got preached to. You know he heard the word of God. You know, as I was reading that, I was thinking about several years back, I was going through some VHS tapes and trying to convert some over. And I came across a videotape where we, for a weekend, had a video camera. And for some reason, my mother let me use the video camera. But the one thing that I learned was, first of all, that I moved the video camera way too fast. And second of all, is that I never stopped talking. And so as I listened to that videotape, I became annoyed listening to me. And so as I thought about it, I said, I feel sorry for the people that had to be around me all the time. Because I just did not realize how much that I talked all the time. And so as I was thinking about that, can you think about that? As Paul's attached to that soldier, he probably never was quiet about sharing God's word. You know, and that's something that we definitely can learn from Paul. You know, clearly Paul did not allow his circumstances to inhibit his work. In fact, it seems the circumstances served to focus his Paul to share the message of Christ. So while they're in prison, Paul's example encouraged the ministers that we can see through that scripture, It encouraged other believers there in Rome. It didn't matter. They began to speak God's word more courageously and fearlessly because of Paul's example. You know, that is a powerful witness to us. You know, too often, as Christians, we allow our circumstances to hinder our usefulness to the Lord. You know, and a lot of times, one of the first excuses that we hear is that I'm just not able to do it anymore. I'm too old. I don't have enough knowledge. You know, I'm too busy at work. You know, we have all of these circumstances in our life that we use as an example for why we can't be useful to the Lord. But as you see, Paul is in prison in the house, and he's still doing everything he can to be useful. You know, Paul showed perseverance through hard times and called other believers to heighten their sense of duty. You know, it seems that Paul's reputation, moving in this passage, received two different responses from those who were preaching the gospel. The first is that those that were preaching Christ out of love, we saw him mention that. But he also mentioned those preaching Christ out of envy. In verse 17, Paul stated that others preached out of selfish ambition. You know, if that Greek word is translated as selfish ambition, it originally meant working for pay. So if we look at their self-seeking ambition was people preaching for what they could get out of it. Not, they didn't care about the people they were preaching to. It was what they could get out of it and what advantage they could have. You know, Paul noted that those preachers sought to increase their fame at the expense of Paul's circumstances. And so Paul knew this was going on. And so you think about what can be learned from Paul's reaction to those who preach at Paul's expense, at the expense of his captivity. But we see his answers. Paul demonstrated tremendous devotion to the gospel. He was able to completely disregard any personal pain from being taken advantage of by those who preached. So without a doubt, we can see that Paul is a servant of the gospel. You think about it. How many people have such an unwavering devotion to God's plan in the face of a personal attack? You know, even at the lowest point of his life, Paul's ultimate concern was that the lost people might be saved, the truth of Christ might be told, and the will of God might be done. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You know, God is perfectly wise in all his thoughts and ways. And the thing is, as Christians, we can take comfort during hardship and know that God will work all things out for his good and for our good. You know, an illustration that I came across that I thought was very interesting, it says in Antarctica, winters are basically 4 months of sub-zero darkness. And the male emperor penguin huddles in large groups of hundreds for 65 days, incubating eggs laid by females. So the males cradle the eggs at the bottom of their feet, covering it with a pouch of skin, while the females spend the winter out in the open sea feeding. So by the time the females return back, the males have lost over 45% of their body weight. So in this situation, male penguins place their babies' welfare over their own. You know, think about how in our world look different if more people put other people's welfare over their own, or even just equally with their own. You know, the families of the missionaries that I mentioned earlier that were killed in the jungles of Ecuador by the Wahangari tribe had every right to be upset or even bitter toward these people. But instead, they chose to reflect the heart of God. Several years after the death of these men, the widow of Jim Elliott, Elizabeth, and the sister of Nate Saint, her name is Rachel, returned to Ecuador as missionaries. And that with this group that they went with, they eventually led to the conversion of many of those people in that tribe, including some of the ones who were involved in killing their loved ones. They used that terrible event as an opportunity to spread the gospel. Instead of being bitter about what happened, they used it as a stepping stone to reach that group of people for Christ. You know, it's the same way we see Paul saw his imprisonment as an opportunity to preach Christ. While other Christians may have used Paul's circumstances to make themselves look better, you know, instead Paul could have responded in anger. Paul showed that the only thing that truly mattered is that Christ was exalted. You know, Paul wrote in Philippians 3:8, and he says, "Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." You know, as Christ followers, as Christians, we are called to place utmost importance on knowing and serving Christ. The world may hurt us because of our beliefs, but truly, if we serve Christ, we know that he can comfort us. So as an example of Paul's life, we first see Paul paying the ultimate price for his faith. We see that Paul valued Christ over his own interests. But thirdly, we see that Paul's identity was truly found in Jesus Christ. If we read in Philippians chapter 1, continuing in verse 19 through verse 22, it says, "For I know that through your prayer and the help of the Spirit of Jesus, Christ is will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be in all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am living the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell." You know, in verse 20, Paul speaks of not being ashamed. Keep in mind, Paul was under house arrest the way he was tried. And he may have been talking about his dismissal before Caesar, but he was probably more talking about not being ashamed before God. Paul might have had a desire to be proven innocent of his charges. You know, when we're guilty, when people say things bad about us, we want to be defended. We want to show that we have been falsely accused. But that's not what Paul was worried about. You know, he was more worried that his missionary work continued. You know, his single-minded devotion to Christ motivated him to focus on obeying his call rather than on whether he was free or whether he was being imprisoned. You know, Paul had been transformed from a persecutor of Christians to a proponent of Christ. You know, he said in that scripture, he said, "To live is Christ." You know, you think about that. What a declaration. You know, what a stance. You know, there was no other consideration and no other concern for Paul except his devotion to Christ. Because Paul, we see, truly had the ultimate objective. Christ had become for Paul the motive of his actions, the goals of his life and ministry, and truly, truly the source of his strength. Regardless of Paul's outcome of the trial, or Paul's outcome of his imprisonment, Paul's life and purpose truly belong to Christ. You know, not only he said to live as Christ, but he said to die is gain. You know, during his missionary journeys, Paul had been beaten, flogged, stoned, and left to die. He had been harassed, impoverished, and chased from town to town. He had been laughed at in Athens, shipwrecked in Malta, and he was nearly killed in Jerusalem. He was called a liar, a heretic, and worst of all, all in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul knew death meant release from the Lord. Eternity at the feet of God, Paul proclaimed in just one simple statement, "To die is gain." Paul's identity is what made him who he was. It's who he was completely wrapped up in Jesus. Paul states this is one of the most influential found statements in the New Testament. "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." As we see, Paul's life, entire life, was committed to communicating Christ to the world around him. You know, think about what consumes your life on a day-to-day basis. You know, if you fill in this blank, "For me, to live is." You know, think about that. "For me, to live is." Is it for me to live as work? Maybe to live as family? To live as maybe my comfort? You know, to live as maybe love? To live as maybe my entertainment? You know, think about that. What is the difference between living for those things and living for Christ? Do these things that you put in that blank, do they bring you closer to Christ? Or do they pull you further away? You know, it should be our goal every day to make our lives less about us and more about Christ. And that song that Sam shared with us, it truly is all about Christ. It's all about Him. You know, in our human understanding, it's so hard for us to truly, you know, understand what I'm saying. It's almost impossible for us to fathom that it's truly a way to live. But we see through Paul's example that it's possible. Paul's perspective on life was a result of his relationship with Christ. What Paul put as being important was the result of his relationship with Christ. You know, think for a moment about the incredible journey that Paul endured through his life. He was raised a Jew, and in his childhood and early adulthood, he lived according to the strictest standards of his culture. And according to his testimony, Paul was achieving greatness within his religion. He gained a reputation as the chief persecutor of the early Christians. But we all know that his life took the most dramatic turn imaginable. He became a servant of the very one he so passionately persecuted. Finally, we know that Paul ended up in prison, but he continued to claim his chains served to advance the cause of his Lord. His identity was so wrapped up in Christ that there was no separation between life and Jesus. If you think about it, are you growing and maturing in your relationship with Jesus? Or are you just at a stale point in life? Is your identity becoming more and more hidden in Him? You know, if you think about it, each day is an opportunity to draw closer to Him. If you spend continuous time in the presence of the Lord, you will grow more and more in His likeness. You know, this is God's desire, this is Christ's desire for His children. But we must be willing to devote ourselves to His cause the same way that we see that Paul did. You know, as Christians, are you committed to Christ in that deeper way? You know, the missionaries that I mentioned earlier in the sermon, you know, when the missionaries first landed, a female tribe member wanted to make contact with them. So there was a male tribe member also that was, you know, romantically interested in her. And so he wanted to go along also. And because of the customs in that tribe, they were not married, so they were not allowed to go off, just a boy and a girl by themselves. So a chaperone was appointed to go with them. So the chaperone, the male and the female, went off to make contact with the missionaries and to talk with the missionaries. But later on, the couple decided to return back. The person that had gone as their chaperone was wanting to learn more about Christ and these missionaries. And so the couple decided they were going to go back by themselves and leave the chaperone talking to the missionaries. Well, as the couple was coming back to the main camp, they came across a group of the tribesmen, and the girl's brother was in that group. And the brother was enraged because they were by themselves without a chaperone. And so they asked him, "Where's your chaperone?" And so out of fear, they said, "The missionaries attacked us. And so we had to escape with our lives." And the chaperone was left back with them. And so out of anger, those tribesmen went and killed those five missionaries on that sandbar that day. And so the five missionaries who were killed there in Ecuador, in the jungles of Ecuador, were killed because of a misunderstanding. You know, when the world looks at your life, how do they understand you? Would it be easier for them to understand you as a follower of Christ or as a follower of the world? You know, we should live our lives in such a way that no one ever misunderstands what we believe. That no one ever misunderstands what we stand for. We should live our lives in such a way. Now, you think about the question I asked at the beginning. If your name is mentioned in a conversation, what words will someone use to describe you? You know, the call on our life is clear. To live in such a way that shows Christ to the world. This is the life Paul was striving for. But We know this is impossible because of our human nature, because of sin that has come into this world. We know that without submitting our life to Jesus' control and to his teachings, it is almost, it's practically impossible. So think about it. As we close out today, when people think about you, when people bring up your name, when people talk about, we use the term legacy, when people talk about your legacy, what is the thing that they will remember about you? Will they remember that you were a nice person? Will they remember that you were good as a good carpenter, a good businessman, a good businesswoman? What will they remember about you? Will they remember more that you were a good cook? Or will they remember that you were a follower of Christ? What example do you give the world? What do you show that is your passion? What is it you truly live for? You know, today as we close out the morning worship service, I'm going to ask Miss Cricket if she'll come on up to the piano. And she's going to play through our invitational hymn. I'm going to stand down front. If you need someone to pray with, I would be more than happy to pray here. Our altar is always open. But think about today as we close the service. What do you truly live for? How does the world truly see you? You bow your heads with me as I pray.